Heavenly Father, you have told us that we can call upon you as dear children call upon their dear earthly fathers. And so we come before you in prayer asking for that which you so graciously given to us. We are sorry for not coming to you as often as we ought. And we are sorry for not coming unto you first rather than too often only coming unto you when our own efforts have failed. Prayer is powerful, and it is a wonderful gift that you have given unto your children. Please help us to come to a greater appreciation for it today and to use it more often from this day forward. In and through the name and blood of Jesus Christ shed upon the cross do we pray. Amen. Before going to our meditation today, there is one thing that I would like to point out. I'll talk a little bit more in the Bible study, which I hope people will go to. But I want to point out from our gospel lesson where it says, Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. The point I need to make is that your eye or your hand don't cause you to sin. They only do what your heart says. I pointed out because I know of a case where a guy took a spoon to remove his eye because of that. And he found out that even though his eye was removed, he still had temptations from his heart. We need the change of our heart. Our meditation here for this day is based upon that lesson that we find there. It's from James chapter 5, verse 16. Which says, let's read that together, please. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In looking at this area that we hear about in James chapter 5, especially prayer, I read a fun little article that contained a number of requests that some children had made to a certain pastor. And you will notice that many of these requests deal with asking for certain prayers. Dear Pastor, I know God loves me, but I wish he would give me an A on my report card so I could be sure. Dear Pastor, could you say a special blessing for my Aunt Beatrice? She's been looking for a husband for 12 years and still hasn't found one. Dear Pastor, do I have to say grace before every meal, even when I'm only having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Yeah. Dear Pastor, thank you for your sermon on Sunday. I will write more when my mother explains to me what you said. Dear Pastor, please pray for all the airline pilots. I'm flying to California tomorrow. Dear Pastor, we say grace every night before we eat dinner, even when we have leftovers from the night before. Dear Pastor, I say my prayer before I eat my supper, but my mother still makes me finish my spinach and drink my milk. One thing that I think is quite evident from these many different requests is that these kids take prayer quite seriously. They believe in the power of prayer. And that's what God tells us in his unchanging, immovable, unadulterated word called the Bible. James, probably the one that St. Paul calls the Lord's brother in Galatians 1, is probably the author here in the book of James. And he, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in James 5:16, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The persistent prayer of someone that the Lord sees as righteous is very beneficial, very helpful. You see, when God talks here about good and beneficial prayer, it's not so much connected to the right words that are chanted at just the right tone, or said 22 times in a row, or said in the most eloquent way. The prayer that God says is good and right and salutary is one that is said by a righteous person. So, who is that? Well, God tells us in Psalms, as well as in Romans, who it's not. He says, there is no one righteous. No, not one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks after God. All have turned away. They have become together worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. According to God, there is not a one of us who is totally good and righteous all on our own. We have each had way more than one less than stellar moment. We have each said some things that really didn't have to be said. We have each thought to ourselves and our own desires first of all. And this shows that we each have something going on the inside that is not righteous in God's sight. That's called sin. And it separates us from a holy, perfect God. We cannot talk to him all on our own based upon our own righteousness and expect him to do what we demand. That's not how it works. If we want to be righteous in his sight and see this gift of God called prayer used as God intended, then we are in desperate need of some help. If we want to be truly righteous in his sight, then we have to first admit that we are in need of his help. We must look outside of ourselves, and we must look to him. We must repent. Jesus said in Matthew 9, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Did you get that? Jesus did not come for those who were already righteous all on their own. Jesus, holy, perfect, sinless, came down to this fallen world to remove that horrible list and weight of sins that each one of us carry, whether we've truly admitted it before or not. Jesus took the punishment that those sins deserve as he suffered in our place upon the cross. He was forsaken there for us. And when he had paid for each and every one of our sins, he finally declared, "It is finished." We are made righteous not through our own works, but instead through faith in the completed work of Jesus. God tells us, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." Each and every person who believes upon Jesus' suffering for their own sins, his death upon the cross for them, and Jesus' miraculous resurrection, all who believe, the Bible says, are righteous in the sight of God. So you could rightly say prayer is possible because of the cross. We have access unto God through the sacrifice of Jesus. Even when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we still remember the connection to God through the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus shed upon the cross. How do we start off the Lord's Prayer? "Our Father who art in heaven." He is your Father because you are his child. He has adopted you and brought you into his family. The forgiveness that he paid for upon the cross was given to you through the waters of holy baptism when you became his child. God hears the prayers of the righteous, and you are righteous because Jesus has made you righteous. Those who do not believe don't have that same assurance that the Lord hears their prayers. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." 1 Peter 3, verse 12 also states, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Yes, it's quite clear. God hears and answers the prayers of the righteous. And you are righteous when you have faith in his son's death upon the cross for you. Prayer is definitely powerful stuff. And that's true whether it's spoken over a loudspeaker, or if it's whispered, or even if it's a silent prayer. I heard the story of a man who took his small son with him to town one day to run some errands. When lunchtime arrived, the two of them went to a familiar diner for a sandwich. The father sat down on one of the stools at the counter and lifted the boy up to the seat there beside him. They ordered lunch, and when the waiter brought the food, the father said, "Son, we'll just have a silent prayer." Dad got through praying first and waited for the boy to finish his prayer. But he just sat with his head bowed for an unusually long time. When he finally looked up, his father asked him, "What in the world were you praying about all that time?" With the innocence and honesty of a child, he replied, "How do I know? It was a silent prayer." Yes, prayer has power, even if it's not spoken in a powerful way, for it reaches the heights of heaven. One of the reasons why prayer is powerful is that when you pray, the entire Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is at work to hear and to answer. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit, I quote, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God with groanings too deep for words. You may not know the exact correct or right theological terminology, the right big words to say. And at the time, you may be too emotionally beyond what you can handle. But take it to the Lord. The Holy Spirit takes your heartfelt cry from in here and delivers it in just the right way to the loving, listening ear of our Heavenly Father. The sure, certain Word of God tells us that the Almighty God and Father of all then hears your prayers. That's why the Lord's Prayer starts out the way it does, as we hear in Matthew 6, 9, when Jesus told them to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." In prayer, we not only remember what Jesus did in the past, having been crucified for our sins and raised again, but the Bible also says that he now sits at the Father's right hand. And as your high priest, he intercedes for you, it says in Hebrews chapter 7. As you pray, Jesus prays for you too. As your high priest forever, he assures you that God hears your prayers, for he declared you to be one for which he has died. So when you pray, please remember all that the triune God is at work for you doing. Another thing that's important to remember about prayer is that the Father does more than just hear. He also answers, and he answers in the way that is best for you. Jesus said, I quote, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." We want to remember that when we pray in Jesus' name, remembering also according to his will, God will answer. He can answer with a yes, or a no, or a wait, which is many times hard, or maybe in a way that we were not expecting at all. So it's important to remember that he has promised to not only hear our prayer, but he has promised to answer it in the way that's best for us. He's promised. Prayer is definitely powerful, but it's important to remember that prayer is powerful because we have a powerful God who chooses to powerfully answer those prayers. The power and the choice and the glory is all God's. Prayer is not magic where if we say the right words, God is compelled to have to do what we say. No. This section of the Bible mentions Elijah as an example. During the reign of King Ahab, I quote, he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. End quote. Was it Elijah who made the rain stop and then start again? No. It was the Lord's power at work. Elijah prayed at the Lord's bidding. I've heard someone describe it that when we pray, we're like a child sitting on a grandfather's lap while they're both sitting behind the wheel of a tractor. Our hands are on his while he is steering the wheel. We can see, yes, our hands are raised, but it's good to know that he's the one who is totally in control. And that's what we do in prayer. We continue to lovingly ride along with our Heavenly Father, trusting and talking to him. Prayer is a part of life for all the faithful, almost like breathing. God speaks his word to us, and we speak back to him in prayer. St. Paul says In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. If we're not praying, it's a bad sign about our faith. Early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in private devotions. Each one reportedly had a separate spot off in the thicket where he would pour out his heart to God. Over time, the paths to these places became well worn. As a result, if one of these believers began to neglect their prayer life, it was soon apparent to others. They would kindly remind the negligent one, "Brother, the grass grows on your path." We might not be able to see everyone's path for prayer quite as easily here in 21st century America, but we can see if they have been coming here to this house of prayer for services. And there's nothing wrong with encouraging others to come and join with us here in this powerful gift of God called prayer. The devil, the world, and our flesh will discourage us at times from praying, since they're vehemently opposed to the saving message of the cross and our great triune God's working to bring us help and strength, even in the worst of times. I have, and I know many others have found, that suffering, that's times of hardship and loss, can be great times for prayer. Early Christians found the same thing. "Is anyone among you suffering?" asked James. "Let him pray." Some of those low moments can oftentimes be times when we actually remember to pray. It is a godly prayer to ask the Lord to relieve your suffering according to his will, and in the meantime, to grant you the patience and the strength to endure. While we cannot demand that God explain himself, because he doesn't promise to, there's nothing wrong with asking that the Lord teach us what he would want us to know. Sickness is a manifestation of sin. It reminds us that we're a part of this sinful world. The devil can try to use it to raise doubts in our mind or to accuse us of past mistakes or problems we have within. So especially when we're sick, it's good to hear what God has to say in his word and to know that you are most assuredly still the Lord's, despite what your lack of health may seem to imply. So as the one who is suffering is commanded to pray, so are pastors and the church told to pray for those who are sick. James goes on to say, "And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up." God does the healing and forgiving. It's his work, not ours. By his power, not ours. His use of our prayer is up to him. He simply tells us to pray, and we do in faith. Just how important prayer is to the weekly life of the church, including our own here, is shown in the life of Pastor Chapman when he started as a young pastor during the late 1800s in Philadelphia. After his very first sermon, an older gentleman said to him, "You're pretty young to be a pastor of this church, but you preach the gospel, and I'm going to help you all I can." Pastor Chapman thought this guy seems a little bit off, but the man continued, "I'm going to pray for you that you may have the Holy Spirit's power upon you. Two others have covenanted to join with me in prayer for you." Pastor Chapman then said these words, "I didn't feel so bad when I learned he was going to pray for me. The three people became 10. The 10 became 20. And 20 became 50, and 50 became 200 who met before every service to pray that the Holy Spirit might come upon me. I always went into my pulpit feeling that I would have the anointing in answer to the prayers of those who have faithfully prayed for me. It was a joy to preach. The result was that we received 1,100 people into our church by conversion in 3 years, 600 of whom were men. It was the fruit of the Holy Spirit in answer to prayer." End quote. Brothers and sisters in Christ, whether you're sitting in the pews in front of me here this morning, if you will be listening to this later through the internet, whether you are physically strong and fit, or if you are homebound, I ask if you could please help me in this. Pray for me and the message that is given here in this place. Pray that the clear, unadulterated, powerful word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and that no matter what pressure or temptations may come our way, I would be strengthened through the Holy Spirit to preach it. I ask this of you, for we are told, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.